come together.
Thanks for listening to the KC Morning Show.
400 years have been terrorized, traumatized, and hated, and we dish out love warriors and freedom fighters every generation, which means that we stand in solidarity with anybody who's occupied, anybody who's subjugated, anybody who's exploited, and that's why we focus on Gaza at this moment, because a genocidal attack is taking place.
Yeah.
And don't let anybody tell you that because you love Palestinians and Palestinian babies that you hate somebody else. It just doesn't follow. We don't hate Jewish brothers. We don't hate Jewish sisters. We don't hate Jewish siblings. We loathe, we hate a vicious Israeli occupation. We loathe and we hate a vicious siege against Gaza. And the least we can do at this moment of overwhelming barbarity is have a ceasefire. And yet you got these cowards in Washington, D.C. talking about a humanitarian pause. Please get off the crack pipe. Wake up. See the humanity of precious Palestinian brothers and sisters. And the American Empire has the nerve in this building to veto a humanitarian pause with our precious Palestinian brothers and sisters being bombed. What kind of country are we? What kind of people are we? If we send a message to Palestinian brothers and sisters and siblings in Gaza, you are not forgotten. We see you. Focus on you. We give attention to you.
Yeah. The people, they won't leave. What is threatening about divesting and wanting peace? The problem isn't the protest, it's what they're protesting. It goes against what our country is funding. Block the barricade until Palestine is free. Block the barricade until Palestine is free. When I was 7, I learned a lesson from Cuban Eazy-E. What was it again? Oh yeah, fuck the police. Actors and badges protecting property in a system that was designed by white supremacy. But the people are in the streets. You could pay off Meta, you can't pay off me. Politicians who serve by any means, AIPAC, Koofy, and all the companies. You see, we sell fear around the land of the free, but this generation here is about to cut the strings. You could ban TikTok, take us out the algorithm, but it's too late. We've seen the truth, we bear witness. Seen the rubble, the buildings, the mothers and the children, and all the men that you murdered, and then we see how you spin it. Who gets the right to defend and who gets the right of resistance? It's always been about dollars and the color of your pigment. But white supremacy is finally on blast, screaming free Palestine to their home at last. We see the lies and up, claiming it's anti-Semitic to be anti-Zionist. I seen Jewish brothers and sisters out there and writhing in solidarity and screaming free Palestine, with them organizing and learning and finally cutting ties with the state that's gotta rely on apartheid system to uphold and occupy. And violent history been repeating for the last 75. The NECPA never ended, the colonizer lied. It's students in tents posted on the lawn, occupying the quad is really against the law, and a reason to call, and the police and their squad. Where does genocide land in your definition, huh? Destroying every college in Gaza and every mosque, pushing everyone in the Rafah and dropping bombs. The blood is on your hands, Biden, we can see it all. And fuck no, I'm not voting for you in the fall. Undecided, you can't twist the truth, the people out here united. Never be defeated when freedom's on the horizon. Yet the music industry's quiet, complicit in their platform of silence. What happened to the artist? What you gotta say? If I was on a label, you could drop me today. I'll be fine with it, cause the heart fed my page. I want a ceasefire, fuck a response from Drake. What you willing to risk? What you willing to give? What if you were in Gaza? What if those were your kids? If the West was pretending that you didn't exist, you want the world to stand up, and the students finally did. Let's get it.
All right,
listen, let's get right to it. My name is Heart Soul. Happy Monday, Kansas City. We have had a bunch of folks on this show. We are a very eclectic show. We've had John Cena. We have had Mayor Quentin Lucas. Kevin Hart has been on this show, believe it or not. Mary J. Blige has been on this show. Bobby Witt Jr. and Graham Zusi and Matt Beasler, they have been on this show. My point is not to gas myself up. My point is to say that there is no topic off limits, no holds are barred. On this show, yes, it's lifestyle. Yes, we have a good time, but we also talk about that matters. And I've said it on this show so many times, just in like the last few years, we have done so much history together, some good, some not so good. And I think it's really important that in this time, we let folks know where we were when history came back around. There's a genocide going on in Gaza, literally as we speak. And I think if you've got a platform of any kind to not speak on this, I think that's a malpractice, especially if you are someone, a content creator, anybody who considers themselves of the left. I think you are doing your audience a disservice to not speak plainly on what is going on. And not just what's going on now, but like what came before. Like, this didn't start on October 7th. The Palestinian people were occupied on October 6th just as much as they were occupied on October 8th. But now they're actively getting slaughtered by the second. So on the show today, we're going to talk about it. And I know it's a Monday, I'm sorry, but like also I'm not sorry. And I can already see your eyes rolling right now in the car. You know, what does this have to do with us? I'm not gonna change foreign policy with a protest at the plaza. What are we doing here? Well, I disagree with that notion. And by the time that you are done with this episode, my goal, my aim, is that you will realize that, wait a minute, this does affect me. Not just that, like, my tax dollars are going to blow up babies, but like, wait a minute, I see myself in those folks because they are folks. They are moms and dads and uncles and aunts and grandmas and grandpas and great grandparents and babies. And the through line with all of that is that they are people. That's all that matters. But before we get going, I just want to put some numbers into perspective for you. In fact, let me kick off my first example as to why this does matter, Israel's genocide in Gaza. The population of Gaza is the same size as our KC metropolitan area. But geographically, Gaza is less than half the size of the city of Kansas City. We just wrapped up an election here in Kansas City, right? We asked the question, who is our city for? I guess the second order question is, what does that mean? What do we get out of that? Food, water, medicine, housing. We say those are human rights. And we still got a lot of work to do. 13% of Kansas Cityans are food insecure at this moment. 100% of Gaza is food insecure. Kansas City has 25 hospitals in the area, right? Gaza, at this recording, Gaza has 32. 29 have been destroyed either in full or partially in just like the last 200 days. And I'm going to mention this a little bit later. Kansas City is also the home of PAMA, Palestinian American Medical Association. They send life-saving care, literally life-saving care. They've sent over 18 medical missions into Gaza, got thousands of members, many from Kansas City. I will drop links in the show notes, but if you would like to make any sort of donation or just want to look more into PAMA, I'll have that for you in the description. So let's get going. Our show of solidarity, Free Palestine, solidarity from the Fountain City. My name's Hartzell. It's your KC Morning Show. So I want to start with some stories from actually right here in Kansas City, stories of displacement. In the late 1800s, Belvedere Hollow was a predominantly black neighborhood in Northeast Kansas City. The neighborhood served as a disembarkment point for Exodusters, Black Southerners, including formerly enslaved people who migrated north to seek better opportunities and less racial discrimination. Over time, the Black population increased in Belvedere Hollow due to displacement and redlining. What that means is mapping out different areas of the city in red, meaning, and I quote, high risk for giving out home loans. That's redlining. It was disinvested in by our city. It was neglected by landlords. And eventually, Belvedere Hollow, again, in Northeast Kansas City. Belvedere Hollow was razed to the ground. All of its Black residents were displaced without reimbursement. And today, that area is Belvedere Park. In Kansas City, we have a history of disinvestment and displacement, from the usage of redlining by J.C. Nichols, which was used to drive out Black, poor, and Jewish people from their communities and create pockets of wealth like the Country Club Plaza or Mission Hills. We also have a history of indigenous ethnic cleansing in Kansas City. In 1803, before this was called Kansas City, this was called Neshotse Tonwan, or Town of Smoky Water, by the Osage Nation. Now see, the Osage people, along with other nations that called this land home, they were not considered when France sold the land to the United States in the Louisiana Purchase. In the plains, white settlers, backed by American troops, burned countless indigenous villages and farms and killed over 30 million bison to decimate indigenous nations' wealth, their health, and their economy. The U.S. government even funded scalp hunting, as well as conversions to Christianity, oftentimes forced conversions. In the year 1834, President Andrew Jackson signed the Indian Removal Act, which ethnically cleansed over 60,000 people, including the Wyandot. In 1843, refugees from the Wyandot Nation had been promised 148,000 acres of land in what is present-day Westport. When they arrived by steamboat, they were denied this land, and they were forced to camp along the river instead. Other nations that were pushed from the Ohio River Valley into what we now call Kansas City included the Shawnee, Potawatomi, and the Delaware. In 1854, when the city of Kansas City was established and opened to Euro-American settlers, the Wyandot Nation were forced to accept citizenship at the cost of their tribal status. Some refused and were displaced again to Oklahoma. Those who stayed were subjected to land theft, steep taxes, and being priced out. They were evicted by the city. Their land, it went instead to speculators, developers, and the railroad. Despite this, the people of the Wyandot Nation have still maintained an uninterrupted presence in the state of Kansas ever since 1843. This genocide and displacement was enabled in part by this idea of manifest destiny. This ideology was alive in the hearts of most white settlers and enshrined into law through what is called the Doctrine of Discovery. It described indigenous lands in what is now the United States as untouched wilderness, divinely ordained by white settlers alone to claim for themselves. And you're going to hear this theme repeated here very, very soon. So I want to talk about how othering harms us. Othering. Palestinian scholar and Columbia University professor Edward Said is credited with coming up with this term called Orientalism, or the stereotyping, the simplification of Asia, especially the Middle East, through colonialist attitude. It's that Orientalism, which is a method of otherizing. Middle Eastern culture, for example, is often emphasized by its exoticness with tropes of ancient wisdom and sexuality and mystery. Take, for example, the Dune series. It's multiple adaptations and movies, television, print. That example is the product of an Orientalist thinking. And it's through an Orientalist lens that we pit the perceived exotic culture up against a colonizer's civilized or correct culture. Exotic versus civilized. It enables people like Jared Kushner, former President Trump's son-in-law, the destruction, the active ongoing genocide in Gaza. He called that, and I quote, potential for beachfront property to be redeveloped by Western interest. You see, for over a century, the ideology of Zionism has been waged against native Palestinians, all in an effort to promote an exclusively Jewish settlement in the land. And before we get into this topic of Zionism and its effects, I want to draw attention to something called the Pyramid of White Supremacy. And it's a tool that is used by anti-racist activists like myself and all my comrades that I organize with. And we use that to emphasize how indifference and othering actually lays the groundwork for more violent faces of white supremacy, up to and including the genocide of an entire people. And I want to start with this, because today, Zionists, they use this narrative that Palestine was, and I quote, I'm sure you've heard this, a land without a people and a people without a land, which is just so problematic, offensive to the millions of Jewish folks who live here in this country. Like we saw before, it is this dismissal of a deeply rooted, thriving Palestinian population that laid the groundwork to ultimately expelling, occupying, and committing violence against those Palestinians. Criticism of Zionism is not anti-Semitic. In fact, to even relate the two is not only harmful to Jewish folks all around the world, but it is, in its very nature, anti-Semitic. Not all Jewish folks believe in a ethno-state. Hell, there are Jewish Palestinians right now whose babies are getting bombed as we speak. It's not anti-Semitic to criticize apartheid, because no one is free in a separate and unequal state. Displacement there is displacement here. FDR said in the Four Freedoms, right? Freedom of speech and expression, freedom of religion, freedom from fear, and freedom from want. And people forget that that wasn't just a domestic call for an expansion of our freedoms. It was also in the same sentence, both here and in the world. We forget about that part, in the world. So yes, this matters to me. This matters to the folks we organize with here locally who call for a free Palestine. And that is not whatsoever anti-Semitic. Anti-Semitism has no place here. And I am not naive. It should be condemned. And yeah, it is on the rise. And it was on the rise before October 7th. As was xenophobia and Islamophobia, transphobia, homophobia, racism towards black folks, indigenous people, migrants. It's all terrible. And in this instance, what I am saying is that the violence, displacement, and genocide are in fact products of Zionism, core to its very fundamental nature. And so I want to trace back now to how that othering was built into the displacement and the violence of Palestine. You know, diverse multi-religious communities in Palestine have existed since like 3700 BCE. Over a dozen different rulers, including a Roman occupation and the Crusades. It has been ruled and held sacred by Jews, Christians, Muslims, ancient religions, and many other faiths. In the early 1900s, Palestinians of all faiths lived under British colonial rule, which treated them as, and this is a quote, Orientals and second-class citizens. especially in the face of anti-Semitism, Zionists wanted European Jews to join other colonizing powers to establish this national identity and to do it in Palestine. Their idea of a national identity, it dismissed and, as we'll see, it soon displaced the Palestinians who already lived there. Since the 1940s, 66% of Palestinians have been displaced and not allowed to return to Palestine, their homes. Hundreds of times this has happened in just the past century. The Nakba of 1948, Nakba meaning catastrophe. And it is through that process in which Zionists created and established the State of Israel. Nearly 800,000 Palestinians were robbed, massacred, and displaced from over 530 villages.
The borders of Palestine have been changed forcefully over time. In 1931, there were more than 850,000 Palestinian Arabs in the region. But with the rise of Hitler, Jewish flight from Europe became even more urgent, and Palestine started to see the biggest wave of Jewish immigration yet. A UN special committee proposed the land be divided into two states, a Jewish state and an Arab state. Within this proposed area were hundreds of thousands of Palestinian Arabs who had lived there for generations. By the end of 1947, Zionists had several well-developed paramilitary forces, the largest one known as the Haganah. The Haganah adopted what was called Plan Dalit, or Plan D, a set of brutal instructions called for the destruction of Arab villages by setting fire to, blowing up, and planting mines. Plan D became the blueprint for carrying out the ethnic cleansing of historic Palestine to make room for a new state.
During the Naxa, Zionists occupied all Palestinian lands, including their capital city of Jerusalem, and it displaced over 370,000 more people.
Lahwa Elian is a Palestinian who lives in Beit Safafa, a town west of Jerusalem. She witnessed two wars, the one that followed the creation of Israel in 1948 and the Six-Day War in 1967.
There was the Jordanian army in Beit Safafa and Bethlehem. We had heard Israeli cannons attacking us, and they said the Israeli army controlled Bethlehem. When they said that, the people we sat with started running. While we were running, my father-in-law told me, it is better to die in our home than to run away.
In 1948, Israel took over half of Beit Safafa, and in 1967, it captured the whole town.
This is one of the roads that divides Beit Safafa town into different parts. They were built after the war in 1967. Israel has also built the settlements around this town, just as it did elsewhere in the occupied territories. With these roads, Israel connects the settlements in Jerusalem to ones in the south which are illegal under international law.
The war in 1967 changed everything. Israel occupied the West Bank, East Jerusalem, the Gaza Strip, the Golan Heights, and the Sinai Peninsula. Israel brought more than 1 million Palestinians under its direct control in the West Bank, East Jerusalem, and the Gaza Strip. And by the end of the war, Israel had expelled 300,000 Palestinians from their homes. Mustafa Osman is a Palestinian historian. He says Israel had clear advantages that were insurmountable.
I think there was a betrayal in this war. We didn't know about Israel's strength, but Israel knew about us more than we did. That's why they won. It was not only with weapons and other tools, but also with the propaganda and the Zionist lobby in the US. That's why we lost.
The 1967 was a turning point for many Palestinians. It's been a long time since that war ended, but the suffering seems to only go on.
So many more instances of this displacement. Violent displacement. Over 7 million people in the Palestinian diaspora today. There are almost 10,000 Palestinians who live in the Kansas City metro today because of that displacement. And they'll use tactics like poisoning wells, or they fill them with concrete, or they'll demolish or occupy homes, burning or uprooting over 1 million olive trees, which is a cornerstone of the Palestinian economy. And of course, on top of that, flat out massacres of entire villages, family trees, lineages gone.
with a drop of a bomb that our taxpayers are funding. The right of return has been repeatedly demanded by Palestinians and also the United Nations, and not just Palestine, but also the diaspora. But that's been denied by Israel, who, by the way, control the borders, the population registry, and all parts of Palestine. Their electricity, their water, their power, all of it. I want to play this speech for you. It's from Mohammed El-Kurd. He's a Palestinian writer and a poet from Sheikh Jarrah in occupied East Jerusalem. He delivered this speech in 2021, well before October 7th. He was at the UN on International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people. He could have given this speech this morning. And this was done 3 years ago.
Impunity and war crimes will not be stopped by statements of condemnation and raised eyebrows. It will not be stopped by tweets of concerns. We have repeatedly articulated what kind of transformative political measures must be taken. Boycotts and state-level sanctions. The problem, again, is not ignorance. It is inaction. I am asking all of you to be brave. The question of Palestine cannot be resolved without a freed Palestine. I know that the occupation will end. The Palestinian cause will erupt victorious. We deserve justice and liberation within our lifetime. We deserve our land back. Thank you very much.
And I think about the experiences of dispossession, displacement, and I can't help but think back to Belvedere Hollow in Northeast Kansas City, or what our indigenous folks, what they experienced. When we say things like evictions are an act of violence, this is what we mean. Eviction is constantly being used as the legal form of displacement from Belvedere Hollow to Zionists routinely displacing Palestinians from their land with the backing of the Israeli military, the Israeli Defense Force, and I put defense in the biggest of air quotes, occupying force, more accurate. The struggle against racial capitalism, imperialism, white supremacy, it's a shared struggle. Why does this matter to you in Kansas City? It matters because it is our shared struggle. And solidarity is the only way forward. Don't get that twisted. We are all in this together. No one is free until we all are free. We'll be right back. It's your KC Morning Show.
وين بديك انا نسكن بعرف انه البيت قديم وشايف عيونك حزينة بس انا شو بقدر اعمل قدام الوحش العظيم عم بنهش بطن المدينة وين بديك انا نسكن بعرف انه البيت قديم وشايف عيونك حزينة بس انا شو بقدر اعمل قدام الوحش العظيم عم بنهش بطن المدينة مين قال انه الشوارع رح تضل نفس الاشي مين قال انه المدينة بعدها بتنقطع ماشي مين قال انه الحارات بعدها لعبتنا البريئة مين سرق منا الطبيعة وقالنا حافظوا على البيئة مين حط السوق بمول مين طلعنا من البيوت مين قسمها ومين اجرنا استوديو اصغر من تابوت مين اجا من تل ابيب قصدي مين اجا من بولندا مين عمر براج ازاز واحنا هدلنا البراندا صار يبيع المجدر عأساس وجبة جورمي ليه صحن الحمص بتلاتين ومحداش سائل لي وين الدكاكين البسيطة ليش كل شي لازم كونسيبت ليش ضروري انه الفواكه تضل كل السنة تنبت مين محانا من القصة مين جدد سوق العتق مين دخن البترول ونفخ غيوم القلق مين حفر الجبل مين هد واد الصليب مين عسكر البحر ودور الناس سكن غريب أترك الحارة ويفتح مطرح بيتي بار يدهن كل الشارع أشر يخفوا ألوان السمار مخبز عم تحول جالري قال أجواء وأثنتيك ونحطك راس المال براسه فيش ولا حدا بيحميك من عربات عن
الناس هجم كلاب الأمن مين هدد الأب ودبر وظيفي للإبن مين دفع حق الحنين مين شرع منا الأمان مين فركش الأمل مين سرق عمر المكان بعرف إنه البيت قديم وشايف عيونك حزينة بس أنا شو بقدر أعمل قدام الوحش العظيم عم بنهش بطن المدينة.
So I want to read you the translation to what you just heard. The song is called Hymn to Gentrification. It's by Faraj Suleiman. And what you just listened to, it said this. But what can I really do in the face of this huge beast eating up the guts of the city? Who said the streets will stay the same? Who said you can still cross the city by foot? Who said the alleys are still for children to play? Who stole our nature and told us to save the environment? Who put the market in a mall? Who forced us out of our homes? Who divided them and leased us some studio smaller than a coffin? My uncle's bakery was turned into a gallery. They say the vibes are authentic. And if capitalism is after you, then no one is there to save you. Who terrorized the people and unleashed the police dogs? Who threatened the father, then offered a job to the son? Who paid the cost of yearning? Who bought us out of peace? Who scrambled hope? Who stole the soul of this place? My uncle's bakery was turned into a gallery. They say the vibes are authentic. And if capitalism is after you, no one is there to save you. Who terrorized these people and unleashed the police dogs? Who threatened the father, then offered a job for the son? Who paid the cost of yearning? Who bought us out of peace? Who scrambled hope? Who stole the soul of this place? As of this morning, May 13th, right now Rafah is on fire. Israel's war on Gaza, its genocidal campaign on an occupied people, has killed at least 35,091 people. Surely an undercount. Hell, the record keepers have been killed. The journalists have been killed. The news outlets, they have been targeted or they have been kicked out. Which is the point, by the way. They don't want you to see this. This is one of the worst man-made catastrophes of not just our lifetime, but literally human history. And we're watching it in real time. The genocide will be televised, live streamed, and our electeds don't give a goddamn. Even as it's looking them right into the face. Over 14,500 murdered children. Nearly 100,000 folks injured. And I'm not talking like a scrape. These folks have lost limbs. They got nowhere to go, in addition to no hospital to be treated. Tens of thousands of folks are missing right now. And those numbers don't even include those who are presumed dead. Folks under rubble right now. Bodies that will never be exhumed. Babies who will never get a funeral. Martyrs who will never have the dignity of being laid to rest. In the West Bank. Yeah, this is happening in the West Bank too. No explanation for that. There's no Hamas in the West Bank unless we're all just Hamas now. Nearly 500 Palestinians have been killed in the West Bank. At least 124 children. Nearly 5,000 injured. And Rafah is on fire. Reports are saying this is some of the worst of the entire campaign. That's happening right now. A baby just blew up, just like a second ago. Half of Gaza's homes are gone. 80% of their commercial facilities are gone. 73% of schools are gone. 83% of groundwater wells are not operational. Entrances for humanitarian aid, what little aid is coming through, it ain't nothing now because those entries are closed. There's nowhere to go. Doctors in mass graves, still in scrubs, with their hands tied behind their back, murdered execution style. Let me tell you a little story real quick. By story, I mean a real experience. Not talking hypotheticals, this ain't talking heads on MSNBC or CNN. No, this is a real life account. Kadar El Belbesi, he's 32. He heard the evacuation order and the Israeli military's gradual inroads into Rafah. For the father of three, leaving the southern city with his young family, it's like taking them into an active battlefield. On Monday, he had received an airdropped leaflet from the Israeli army instructing him and his family to leave eastern Rafah. And remember, Rafah is where they told folks to go. He said the dropping of the leaflets felt as if the military had directly dropped saws on them. "My mind is confused," he said, "and I'm looking for a place. There's no transportation." Life in Gaza was not easy before the war, due to an ongoing Israeli blockade, but Al Belbesi had tried to build a comfortable life for his family. He worked hard as an electrician, and his wife, Tasneem, was a talented pharmacist. They lived in a fairly large house near the Sea of Tal al-Hawa, and their eldest son, Waleed, who's 9, played in a football club, in hopes of becoming a professional footballer one day. That club no longer exists. Many of its young players are dead. They were killed. Massacred. Family has lost their jobs. Their house is gone. Their car, their possessions. I never expected this to happen to me and my family. The war destroyed everything. A little more than a month ago, Tasneem gave birth to their third child in a one-room apartment they had been sheltering in for months. No medical care. There was no transportation available to get to the nearest hospital, which Al Belbesi says would have been futile anyway, because the war has rendered all of Gaza's hospitals just a dysfunctional mess. He's been fundraising to evacuate his family to Egypt, but corruption, bribes, has made it almost impossible. It's too expensive to leave. Those are the casualties of this genocide. So, what do we do? If you would like to dig in more, I would suggest 10 Myths About Israel by Ilan Papi. Basically anything by Ilan Papi. The 100 Years War on Palestine, a history of settler colonial conquest and resistance from 1917 to 2017 by Rashid Khalidi. That is an excellent read. Mark Lamont Hill, who I'm a fan of, he's got a book called Except for Palestine, The Limits of Progressive Politics. And also, if you're looking for something that is free and put together post-October 7th, Verso Books has a free collection of essays for a free Palestine called From the River to the Sea. And that is put out by Verso Books. There are many ways we can stand up against colonization and genocide. We can do it right now. Personally, I find strength in organizing. Got some wonderful comrades, friends. I consider them family, to be honest with you, in Al Hadaf. Consider donating to the Palestinian American Medical Association, which is actually headquartered here in Kansas City, PAMA, and they deserve so much more help than what they're getting. And lastly, just don't forget to be vocal about this. Let this moment radicalize you, and I mean that. This isn't a wedge issue. This should be an issue that solidifies where we are at. Where were you when history called? What side were you on? Call for a ceasefire. Email your senators, your representatives, from the city council and county levels to Jeff City to all the way in D.C. No one is free until we all are free. Palestine will be free. It's your KC Morning Show.
Live Palestina, grossa Zionisten. Live, live, live Palestina. Live, live, live Palestina. Live Palestina, grossa Zionisten. Live Palestina, grossa Zionisten.
Och vi har rolat jorden.
Och
vi har odlat jorden.
Och vi har skördat vetet.
Och vi har skördat vetet.
Vi har plockat citronerna.
Och vi har plockat citronerna.
Och pressat oliverna.
Och pressat oliverna.
Och hela världen känner till vår jord.
Och hela världen känner till vår jord.
Leve, leve, leve Palestina. Leve, leve, leve Palestina. Leve Palestina och grossa sionismen. Leve Palestina och grossa sionismen.
Och vi har kastat stenar på.
Och vi har kastat stenar på.
Soldater och poliser.
Soldater och poliser.
Och vi har skjutit raketer.
Och vi har skjutit raketer.
Mot våra fiender.
Mot våra fiender.
Och hela världen känner till vår kamp.
Och hela världen känner till vår kamp.
Leve, leve, leve Palestina.
Leve, leve, leve Palestina.
Leve Palestina och grossa sionismen.
Leve Palestina och grossa sionismen.
Och vi ska befria vårt land.
Och vi ska befria vårt land.
Från imperialismen.
Från imperialismen.
Och vi ska bygga upp vårt land.
Och vi ska bygga upp vårt land.
Till socialismen.
Till socialismen.
Och hela världen kommer att bevittna.
Och hela världen kommer att bevittna.
Leve, leve, leve Palestina.
Leve, leve Palestina.
Leve Palestina och grossa sionismen.
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 You're listening to the KC Morning Show.